Jesus, I pray that that would truly be our heart's desire, that not our wills but yours be done in each and every one of our lives. Father, I pray that if there's any distractions this morning, anything that's hindering your spirit, Lord, that you would just break through. Break through in every heart. Break through in every mind, Lord. Father, that we would be so focused on hearing from you, so hungry to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to begin in Matthew 4, 18. And a lot of times I forget sermons from week to week. But I remember preaching, and it's probably been 10 years ago on this, and doing a whole series on being a fisherman. And that's just kept coming to my mind this week, once again, about us being fishermen. And I thought I was going to approach it the same way I did about 10 years ago, but it didn't really work out that way. So if you remember the sermon from 10 years ago, it's going to be different, okay? So I'm not going to do a repeat this morning, but Matthew 4:18 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So I was thinking about this, and so what do you have to be a fisherman? You got to have a pole, right? You got to have line. You got to have water, right? You're not going to cast your hook out into the yard and catch anything but maybe leaves or branches or something like that. But to catch fish, you got to have certain things. And what else do we have to to catch them? Most of the time you got to have bait of some kind, right? A bait that lures them in. And there's all different kinds of baits. There's shiny baits, there's sparkly baits, there's stinky bait. There's all different types of bait. But all the baits are designed to what? To attract the fish, right? And so that you can catch them. So here, these men are obviously fishermen. That's probably how they earned their living, how they fed their family. But Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, of the people around you. And so for many of us, I believe that should be us today. And that we're the bait. Our lives should be the bait. Our lives should be what's drawing people in. What's attracting people to Jesus Christ should be our lives. We should be the bait. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits. Living such good lives that people glorify God because of your life. Now, how many of you could say that's the way I live and that's what happens in my workplace, that's what happens at home, that's what happens at Walmart, that I am so good that people are glorifying God because of my life and what they see in me? I don't know how many of us are truly living up to that. That people are seeing that in our lives. You flip over to 1 Peter 3, verse 8. And it says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessings, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. This is what we're called to do, y'all, to not repay evil, for insult, but we're to give love and compassion to those around us. Verse 10 says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. When I read that and I think, how many of us are keeping our tongues from evil or lies? That's how we should be living, but oh, it's so easy to get caught up in the workplace gossip, in the evil cut downs, and to make fun of someone and just grab hold of that and make everybody laugh. Verse 11 says, he must turn from evil and do good, and he must seek peace and pursue it. Y'all, that's one of the hardest things for me right there, is the seeking peace and pursuing it. Why? Because it's so easy when you see something wrong and the boss isn't doing this or a coworker isn't doing that, and you want to bash them and you want to talk bad about them and they're not doing their job and they're not doing this or the boss isn't doing this and the boss is an idiot. I hope they don't ever listen to this, but I'm not advertising the website at work. So. But how easy is it? Am I the only one that it's easy to pile on and complain about things and when things aren't done how we think they should be done and to just stir it up? I had something, I can't even remember what it was in the last week or so, and it was just an idiot move. And I wanted to complain and I wanted to gripe and I felt like the Lord was saying, no, don't. But I did. Y'all, it's so hard sometimes to not get caught up in the garbage of everyday life. But if we're the bait and people are supposed to be drawn to us, how are they going to be drawn to us when we talk and act just like them, when we're no different? Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Y'all, I'm in no way patting myself on the back, because I don't stand out enough. And this message is for me this morning of I want to be better bait to those around us. But you know, I had someone come to me at work and said, I really need to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, you know, like, what's up? And I didn't know. And then a couple hours later, when we finally got a chance to talk, they almost began to cry talking to me about a prayer request, a need that they had in their life. And they said, you know, I know the Lord, but I'm not living the way that I should. And so I'm trying to ask people, you know, to pray for this issue, you know, and that made me feel good that maybe he did see something in my life. But y'all, that doesn't happen enough. It doesn't happen enough, and I need to be better bait. I need to be showing more of who Jesus is real in my life. Verse 13 says, "Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good?" I want y'all to think about that. When we're eager to do good all the time, who's going to harm us? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You know, when I read this and I think, how many people are coming to us and asking, why are you so different? Why are you full of joy and peace? What is that hope that you have in your life? Because I don't have it in mine. I want y'all to really think about that. When was the last time someone come and asked you, how can you be the way that you are and rise above all this garbage, rise above all this slander, rise above all this stuff? It says that always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for that hope. But I wonder how many of us have even been asked ever or recently, I hope you have, but how many of us can truly say that, because we're so different than everyone else? Are we eager to do good, to not repay evil for evil, to be set apart? And if we're living that way, will that not draw people to our lives? Will that not bring people in? You know, there's some people, you guys probably know people like this. Some of you are like this, whether you know it or not. People's just drawn to you. And there's people that I know that people's just drawn to them. There's something about them. They want to be around them. They want to hang out with them. Do you guys know people like that? That there's people that's just, they have no problem making friends. They're kind of the leader of the pack, you know? There's so many people that are that way, and some of you are that way. But how many of us are that way because of Jesus Christ living real in our life? Now, some of y'all might know who Bob Dylan is, some of you may not, but Crystal heard a sermon this week and she was telling me about it, and I knew Bob Dylan had gave his life to Jesus in the late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in there, but I never did hear the story, and I Googled it, and I'd heard where at the end of concerts he was preaching to people and things like that, but I couldn't get to this detail. I couldn't find it, but this preacher had said that this was in his autobiography or a book about his life. I cannot confirm it. So what I'm about to tell you was told by another preacher that my wife shared with me, but she'd said that Bob Dylan had a live-in girlfriend, and they'd lived together for like 2 years, wasn't it? Well, they were living together. And this girl got saved. And her life dramatically changed. Changed to the point that my understanding, and this might be wrong, so don't stone me. My understanding was that she wasn't even really trying to convert Bob Dylan. But she said, I can no longer live with you like this. And she moved out. And he thought, how could this be that a woman would leave this money and this life for Jesus? There must be something to this. There must be something real about this for her to leave all of this security and everything. And that's what started him on getting saved. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and I don't know if I said it quite right. Kind of like when you play that game where you whisper in each other's ear, and by the time it gets to the end, it gets a little different. That's the best of my understanding, but the reality is y'all, that's what should happen in our lives when we become Christians, that we're so transformed that people around us are just going, this just came to mind. Last night, we went to Greenwood and ate, and I saw a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in 4 or 5 years. He is who helped me get my job. We worked together at UPS, and he's the one that got me my job at FedEx. And he's a state trooper now. And I ran into him last night, and we stood there and talked for an hour. And he asked, and his family and his mother and father-in-law are still sitting there. And he said, are you still preaching? And I said, yeah, I am. And he said, and he looked at them, and he goes, I still can't believe that this guy is a preacher. When you know what he used to do, and I just grabbed him and shook him and started laughing. But that's a testimony. That he knew me before I was saved. He knew what I was like and how horrible I was and all the junk that I did. And it's awesome how God can transform us, y'all. But are we living that out each and every day in our lives? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I have so much today. I need to speed up. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is who is the image of God? For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What is all that saying there? Basically, that this world, that Satan is blinding people's eyes to the truth. That he's blinding them to the truth. But we should be living out the truth. For the light of the knowledge of God should be shining out of each and every one of us, in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. See, we can have self-help books and we can do all the psychology and all the mumbo-jumbo of this world, but the reality is, it's Jesus Christ living in us that is the true transformer, that is the true thing that should be lighting our lives. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Y'all hear what that's saying? Does that describe us really today? Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. No, most of us, if a little thing goes wrong, we're destroyed. We're perplexed. We're crying out. We're in distress. But this should be describing us as Christians, that we should be the bait that's drawing people in because they see that no matter what's going on in our lives, we're okay. Verse 10 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. Is the life of Jesus being revealed in our bodies for real? For real. I mean, verse 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that His life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Y'all, the reality is, though, is that we let things get a hold of us. And we worry and we fret. When in reality, if we're in God's hands, why should it matter? You know, Hayden went to Little Rock yesterday to a Bible conference. And it's hard when your kids start traveling. He's going on a mission trip in a couple weeks on spring break and going to be gone all week. And, you know, if I allow myself to begin to worry, it'll consume me. But in reality, is Hayden not in God's hands? So it's not going to matter if I keep him locked up at home and won't let him leave the house, or if he's going on his mission trip, or if he's driving to Little Rock, or wherever he is. If he's in God's hands, God can oversee. God can take care. I told it in Sunday school. I don't think I told it up here. And if I did, I apologize. But this preacher told this woman, said, what good is worrying doing you? And she said, oh, it does a lot of good. And he said, how is that? And she said, well, because 95% of everything I worry about never even happens. And that's how many of us are. We're worrying, we're fretting and over stuff that's never even going to happen. And that does not draw people to us. That is not good bait. Verse 13. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Okay, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Are you truly being renewed day by day? Though outwardly we're fading. Have y'all looked in the mirror lately? You know, we're fading. Some of y'all's not as fading as fast as me. I'm kind of on a fast track, I feel like, sometimes. And the wrinkles and the gray. And when I put on this shirt this morning, I thought, man, that black really brings out my gray. I don't know if I should wear that or not, you know. But we're getting old. But outwardly, even though we're getting old, inwardly we should be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Because our faith is growing. Because we're knowing Jesus more and more and more. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Y'all, are we living our lives for things that are unseen? What better testimony than to see people living out their faith day by day? What better bait to draw people in than to see when you're going through the struggles, when you're going through the trials, when you're going through the storms, that you are still shining light every day in your life? 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, let me find it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. I want y'all to think about that. When you're fishing, are you not trying to catch as many fish as possible? Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes it's annoying if the little fish keep taking your bait, so you'll cast out to deeper water, you'll do something different. I'm not very much of a fisherman, but I know that when I go fishing, if I'm not catching anything, I'm done after about 15 minutes. I'm bored already. I'm ready to go. You know, I want to catch something. I want to have some action in that. In our lives, he says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Is that our attitude? Are we trying to win as many as possible? And to the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I have become like one not having the law, though I am free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Y'all, I don't want to spend too much time on this. But you can relate to your life that who are you talking to? You don't try to elevate yourself above someone and be self-righteous and be, proud or arrogant. You allow yourself to fit the circumstances you're in, to relate to those around you, and to let Jesus live through you. And to draw them, or let me back up, that they may be drawn to you because of what Jesus is doing in your life. Verse 24 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I read this because I wanted to ask you, do you live each day with a purpose? Or are you running aimlessly? You know, it's real easy to go aimless, isn't it? To just go with the flow and not really have a plan, not really have... And oftentimes in our lives, you know, it's just kind of whatever comes our way. But y'all, for us as believers, we should be living with a purpose each and every day. And that is, thy will be done. Thy will be done in my life. not my will, but thy will be done in my life. That song that we were singing at the end, not my will, but thy will be done. We should be living each and every day with a purpose of saying, Father, lead, guide, and direct me. Father, may I be producing good fruit. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit 3 or 4 weeks ago. For a couple of weeks we spent on that. Father, lead, guide, and direct me. Thy will be done. Beating our body into submission so that my will won't be done, but make it my slave so that I'm not following after these things of the world, but that I'm seeking after our Father in heaven so that I can be useful. Are we living each day with a purpose? Are we being good bait for the kingdom of God? 1 Timothy 2:4 says, He who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. See, God's will is that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's God's will, for all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Romans 13:8 says, Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Y'all, to love those around us, to love and to share in their lives and to share our lives with them so that we would be good bait, so that it would draw people to us. When was the last time you showed someone love just not because of what they can give you, but just because you love them? And do this understanding the present time. I'm almost done here. Understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. See, for many of us, we spend our days thinking about our sinful nature, gratifying the desires of the flesh and not living with a purpose, not living. We're jealous and we're angry and we're full of dissension and the co-workers are making us mad. We're ready to blow up and let somebody have a piece of our mind and take pride in it. And we're not a light in the dark world. We're not living out our faith each and every day. And so we're not very good bait. Y'all, there's bait that I've used before. And I remember, and this is years and years ago, that I was out at Crystal's grandpa's ponds, and the fish were biting so much that it almost didn't matter what you threw in. You were catching something. They were so hungry. Y'all, we read that that Satan has blinded the eyes of many. But what I see is a culture that's hungry for something. They may not even know what it is, but they're hungry for a purpose. They're hungry for a meaning. And if we're not shining light, if we're not good bait, they're never going to want what we have. If we're grouchy just like everybody else, if we're jealous just like everybody else, if we're angry just like everybody else, if we're full of worry and fret just like everybody else, if we have no faith, if we show no love, if we show no compassion. This morning on national news, a little girl from Northwest Arkansas was on there. And her mom is a nurse that travels around to different nursing homes taking care of them, taking care of people. And this little girl started going with her mom. She had to take her to work with her. And she started visiting with the patients. I think she's 10 or 11 years old. She started visiting with the patients. And so she decided, if you could have 3 wishes, what would you wish for? Asking these old people. And she got her notebook and she started writing it down. And she said, I was amazed at what they were saying. It wasn't new car. It wasn't more money. the number one request was Vienna sausages, Dr. Pepper, and cheese. And so this little girl was writing these down, and she got to talking to her mom about it. We can do this. And she goes in these nursing homes, 11 years old, started a GoFundMe page, and it showed her bringing a chocolate pie to one lady. But she said, more than anything, these people, they want to be hugged and they want to be shown love. Y'all, how awesome is that, that this little girl is shining a light in the dark world with nursing homes, with these elderly people? But how many of us as Christians, we can't even smile at someone. We can't even tell them, have a good day. We can't go over to their house and visit. We can't come or give them a phone call. Y'all, how are we any different than the world? I am with this verse, and it's a verse I've been using a lot lately, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Reality is God has a job for you to do today. He has a job for you to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day. As long as there's breath in your lungs, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. I don't know what it is for each and every one of you. It may be being the best city worker you can be. It may be being the best teacher you can be. You know, it may be being the best, you know, homemaker you can be. I don't know, but God definitely has a purpose and a plan for us. And when we're lazy and we just let life go, we're going to fall. But if we would wake up each day and say, God, have thy will be done. Help me to be good bait. Help me to be a fisher of men. I think our lives could be changed if we would live each day with that purpose in mind. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of all the times that I'm not a light in this dark world, that all the times that I give in and let my flesh lead, let my anger and jealousy and fear overwhelm me, that I submit to those things. Lord, give me strength. Give me strength that I may live each day with a purpose of knowing that you have a plan for my life that day. Of living with a purpose of knowing that you are in control. Father, may I be a light in this dark world. May I be a good bait, so to speak, that people are drawn, Lord, to you. We are just jars of clay here. May you mold and shape us into what we need to be, that we might serve your purpose. Lord, more than anything, may we conform to your will. May our co-workers, may our family members, may our friends, may our church family, may all those who come in contact with us see you in each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. God, I challenge you to examine yourself and see what kind of lives you've been living. If it's full of the garbage of this world, or if Jesus Christ has been living in you and His light has been shining through you. And just pray and cry out. Ask Him for His help and His guidance. We can't do it on our own. It's only by the power of Jesus Christ, only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live this out. The altars are open if you need prayer.
Pick up your heart and carry it to Bro. dreams that you've carried this far needs His touch to mend. So pick up your heart and carry it to healing hands. Pick up your heart and carry it to healing hands. There is no pain, no scar He won't understand. Those broken dreams that you've carried this far need His touch to mend. So pick up your heart and carry it to healing hands. What brought you here to this time, to this place, where your own strength found its and the load that you bear is too heavy to carry? Come bring it all to Him.
Encourage you to be here tonight. We're going to talk about the words we speak, how we speak, and we need to be careful with how we use our words and make sure they're understood clearly. I heard this week and the importance of explaining ourselves well and making sure our words are heard clear. And this woman was dropping hints to her husband for their 25th anniversary of what she would like for a gift. And she said, I'd like something really shiny that will go from 0 to 180 in 3.2 seconds. And the husband sat and he thought, and he went and got his wife a new scale. That's a time joke. Sometimes it takes a little time to sink in. So he didn't get it, did he? And she didn't explain it very well. Sometimes us men are a little slow on what exactly the hints are. And so tonight we'll be discussing the words that we speak and how we speak and the contents of friends and marriage. And so I encourage you to be here tonight at 6:30. Have a blessed afternoon.
What brought you here to this time, to this place, where your own strength is found its end? And the load that you bear is too heavy to carry. So bring it on to Him. So pick up your heart and carry it to healing hands. There is no pain, no scar He won't understand. Those broken dreams that you've carried this far need to pick up your heart.